Great job. Great job. Alan, get in here, baby. This is, hey, this is number 500 for him. He started when he's like two.
Family on three.
Right,
1, 2, 3.
Family!
Buddy, welcome to our Midwest Ford Dealers Chiefs Kingdom Show. Mitch Holtis with you, the voice of the Chiefs, along with the 15-year long snapper, Pro Bowl long snapper, Kendall Gammon. Kendall, people ask me all the time, why this turnaround? I had basketball coaches in Division I asking me this week. To show them the clip that we started Chiefs Live with explains a lot without saying a word.
I think it says everything, because when you look at Coach Andy Reid coming in there, having a good time, genuinely excited, the players going nuts. And then the thing that you and I think we like the most is the fact that Harry brings in equipment manager Alan Wright, who is on his 500th game, and acknowledges that. You know, that's a big deal. It shows that he's watching everything, and he's got everything under his control in terms of what's happening, what's going on. And again, it has permeated the building.
It's really a study in the psychology of coaching. We're going to talk about that later in the show, but Andy Reid has done a magnificent job. We can't even give it justice in just a couple of minutes of what he's done to transform this franchise, and you're seeing it manifested on the field with the 7-0 version of this Midwest Ford Dealers Chiefs Live show. Okay, let's go back and take a look at the Houston game. We're all thinking about Cleveland, but let's look now in the red zone for the second consecutive week, and what did you see here in getting the touchdown?
I saw attitude, guys getting into their men, the players scoring with their man. When I played, my offensive line coach always talked about score with your man, and that's what they did right there. But again, you're seeing right there a big third down catch, I believe, by Bo, getting involved in things. This will go over in more detail. That's the craziest play I've ever seen, and I've been around for quite a while. So that was a fun one. But in general, just doing a lot of good things. Here you're getting the blimp view, I think. You can't explain that.
Well, I called it a broken play, doing the play-by-play, and then I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, it looked like it was designed, a quarterback run, which is a great call in the red zone. This kid played his tail off. Case Keenum looked like Tom Brady had put on a Texan uniform. I said he was back at Abilene Wiley High School playing Sweetwater. He played with so much confidence. The best compliment I can give him, Bob Sutton had to go to page 5 and dial up some of his good stuff.
But he did, and he did dial up some good stuff indeed. Especially with the last four drives, sacks ending each one of them. But I stand corrected. I did not think Case Keenum would be able to function in the environment, which is Arrowhead Stadium. And here, as we see, Marcus Cooper just making a great play on the ball. And DJ, was that not Swearinger? I forget who that was. But again, doing a nice job. And we talked about it. The way he listens
DeVere
to
Posey.
Al Harris. What's that?
DeVere Posey.
Thank you.
Okay.
With Al Harris and Emmett, I mean, he's just a dog sitting there taking in everything. It's like I described the focus point in terms of dogs watching food. They're just taking everything in, just looking to get a morsel. That's what he's doing.
And Alex Smith here, high-stepping it down the
Billy
field.
Billy Sims. We went back. That was outstanding.
And if you're 3rd and 21, you just dial up a 43-yard play.
What a huge play. That was so important in the game, and it's nice to see a chunk like that come from Dexter McCluster. I know that the coaches have been wanting to get him more involved in things.
And this is where Bob Sutton started to go to calc 2 on young Case Keenum. Flowers, a nickel corner blitz, and then an overload. Kendall, here they Holly and Houston on the same side?
It's not fair. It's not fair when you've got that many sacks staring you in the face. You know, as when you look at it in slow motion, they should have slid to the right from the left guard over. But you know what? When you only got about a half second to figure it out, it's hard to get it right.
Okay, fantasy football, reality football here. The passing number is pretty close. But when you get the reality football of it, this was just a tough win. The other thing that's not overstated in this game was there were 7 third down conversions by the Chiefs. Dwayne Bowe had 6 catches for 60 yards, but Kendall, 5 of the 6 were critical third down plays that all could have been tipping points in this game.
They were critical. If you don't get even one of those, some things maybe go haywire. And as you saw, 32 minutes and 12 seconds, they came in averaging 32 minutes and 10 seconds. So they keep their average, move it up just a little bit. They're doing a nice job. When you hold on to the ball as an offense, That helps you certainly when you keep it away from them. And then when the defense is playing like they're playing, good things happen.
And some good receiving in this game, but Jamaal Charles continues to be outstanding. First of all, and we're going to talk about this later in the show, he's done something that hadn't been done since the 70s in the National Football League. But Dexter McCluster gets involved with the big play that we had on the bubble screen. But then also Charles just continues to go every week. If you look at the receiving and the numbers that they're putting up, again, this is more reality football than fantasy football, but just effective plays at the key times.
Well, they're right. And you see there the receptions, they both have that. So they 107 yards between the two of them. The average is getting up there a little bit. I like the fact that you saw chunks coming from the offense. I like that. I think we had three plays of 25 yards or more. Then why not add in a punt return and a kickoff return and you get two more chunks? And folks, you say, well, it's special teams. Well, you know what? Either you get the ball there or you catch the ball as a kickoff returner or as a punt returner and you go a long way and you set the field. The Chiefs have started on the other half of the field 19 times this year. That's been awesome. First in the NFL.
And again, looking at talking about the sacks on this team, they lead the National Football League with 35. That's ridiculous. That's five a game. They just keep adding to it. And again, Case Keenum, the best compliment we can give him is the fact that he made the Chiefs really go to some unique stuff. But in the defensive comparison, you look at a Derrick Johnson and a Tom Bahali, Tom now, his sack total has risen big time. And he and Justin Houston are sitting on roughly 20 sacks with together.
Well, I think there's only four teams maybe that have more sacks than them as a whole of these two. So doing a nice job. I'm going to tell you, when you've got that combination, it's lethal. And again, putting them on the same side, not fair.
Well, there you go. Again, this defense, just outstanding. I did a Chiefs brief on it earlier this week. This is hunting season in the Chiefs Kingdom States. Bob Sutton's having some fun right now. How much fun is this defense having?
Boy, you talk to them after the game. It's amazing because they're genuinely happy for each other, and they just play off each other, and that's a good thing when you get a defense going like that, and it only gets better, and you get guys like a Cooper who comes in off the scrap heap and is making a big difference, allows you to put number 24 B-flow in the slot. Things like that, that really gives you a lot to dial up, and Bob Sutton is doing as much.
Well, just don't take it for granted because it doesn't happen often in the National Football League to have all of this positive energy flowing through every part of this team. When we come back, we're going to give you some historical reference with some of the key players on this team. Of course, it's 7-0, only the second time in franchise history. The 2003 team started 7-0 as well. We come back on our Midwest Ford Dealers Chiefs Live show. You're going to see some marks that'll cause some conversation at the water cooler.
This is a microphone like no other microphone. It's not meant for karaoke or morning announcements, no. This mic has more important things to do.
Touchdown!
This is the microphone of Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Chiefs. Come Sunday, it will reach to the far corners of the kingdom.
Welcome back on this 7-0 edition of Chiefs Live. Yeah, we got new toys all the time. I know it looks familiar to some of you fans that watch other shows, but we'll do this much better. Let's just pick up Alex Smith here now, 26-5-1, with basically 2 years of data. That's pretty impressive. But Kendall, there's something else to consider with this guy. He's doing something that hasn't been done in a long time. When you take a look at what he's done, only one of two quarterbacks since the merger to win seven games in a row with a new team.
In the last three, it's amazing without a touchdown pass. But again, doing it the right way, which is holding onto the ball and making plays when he needs to. I like the efficiency of what he's doing. And you see those numbers right there, the 75.6 rating. You know what? he has the complete and total confidence of his team. He is a leader. You know, we're going to see this play again a little bit later in terms of when he runs into the end zone on a broken play. No hesitation. He just does what he does. He's not the greatest slider, but he can high kick when he runs down the field.
He's way more athletic. I give him credit for it. Here's what's even more impressive. The record, the guy that had it prior to this, Dieter Brock. You remember? Remember Sprockets?
This was just where I was going.
Now's the time where we dance.
We have to get all the black. Black out, absolutely.
Yeah, Mike Myers, where
wow.
are you? Okay, Jamal Charles. What this guy has done now is to have 100 all-purpose yards and a touchdown. This has not been done consecutively like this since O.J. Simpson back in 1975 to have at least 100 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown in seven straight games.
Boy, and that play that we're seeing right now where he just plants on his left foot and keeps going, it's amazing. Some of the things he's doing right now I've not seen, and I thought I'd seen everything in the first several years that he played the game. Scrimmage yards, doing a fabulous job, scoring touchdowns, accounts for almost 40% of the Chiefs' total offense. People talk about the fact, is he getting too much, hit too much? I think the fact that he's getting the ball in the passing side of it, he's not getting hit as much, and he's going to actually stay healthier. That's what I truly believe, because he's got more space, and he knows how to not get hit. And in the NFL, there is an art to not getting hit. You know how to keep people and just make them kind of glance off of you. But right there, wiping it off, having a great time, that's the kind of things the Chiefs Kingdom loves to see.
Well, and he's a cruiserweight fighter. And we've said that before, but he's a 200-pound fighter that hits you in the 15th round. What he is doing, the best guy I've seen in pass protection in my 20 years with the Chiefs was Tony Richardson, because he jacked guys. If you watch what Jamal Charles is doing in protection, he's physical against these guys.
He comes up and he thumps him and he puts him on the ground. You know, I think it was the last game he did that. It was fabulous. And if he doesn't do that, the more important thing is if he doesn't do it, that guy gets to the QB. That's something that can't happen. He's doing a fabulous job. You know, running backs coach Eric Bieniemy does a great job in talking to Nile Davis during camp. That was one thing he stressed, was they go over and over the pass protection, and that's a good thing.
Okay, Dwayne Bowe. Now, again, there's a difference between fantasy football and reality football. I love fantasy football. It's just got to be a little more like reality football. Give some credit for big catches, and he had some big catches in the game against Houston.
He did, and, you know, the third down catch was huge. Gets up and lets everybody know about it. I'm going to tell you what I really like is coming off the field after Alex ran that touchdown in this week, and everybody's high-fiving, going nuts. Here comes Bowe. And Andy Reid comes over to him, gives him a fist pump. You know, it's talking about there was a big catch on that play. But just the fact that he's so into the game. Dwayne Bowe is not, he's not playing fantasy football. He's not worried about his numbers. He's worried about one number, and that's how many wins they got going on. And he's having a good time, because with team success comes individual accolades.
Oh, and by the way, on the 43-yard play on the wide receiver screen, he doesn't take out one guy. He takes out two guys. You don't want to be a safety and have this guy come at you for a downfield block.
Well, you don't, and that's when you know people have bought in, when they're blocking downfield, and that's something that he's done the past several years. Again, he's not hung up on the numbers. He's hung up on the wins.
Okay, the next thing that comes into play, and this is an off-quoted stat, and it should be, Chiefs are way ahead with 35 sacks in the National Football League, and they're spreading around now. We mentioned Bob Sutton dialing stuff up. They are going to pressure the quarterback, and they're going to pressure Jason Campbell this week. Just get ready.
They've got historic numbers going, and when you see how they're doing it, because they can beat you physically one-on-one, or Bob Sutton gets into calculus three, and he dials things up, and now you confuse them also. And after a while, you couple that with the fact that you've got a crowd going crazy, and you can't get off the ball the way you'd like. You've got a rookie QB who's getting a little bit flustered, and all of a sudden, the last four drives for Houston end in sacks, and a couple of those, I believe, were fumbles.
Well, here's where Case Keenum knew it wasn't Abilene versus Sweetwater. Oh. This one hurts. That's Justin Houston and Tom Bahali, and you're a sandwich, and they're, man, that's
rough. It's not so much here or here, but right here.
Right there. 35 sacks. That is double the league average. Double. Which gives you an idea. Now, Tom Bahali in this locker room has been impressive. And here's with the psychology of the locker room, and you see it on the sideline during game day. Tom Bahali's been around a while. He has had his face rubbed in it with 2-2-14 seasons.
Right.
Not only is he having fun, he is on point and on purpose and gets it. He is having an influence in that locker room, isn't he?
He is having an influence, and he should, being the elder statesman there. And when I talk to him after the game, he just keeps deflecting the praise to everybody else in terms of Dontari Poe and what he's doing, Justin Houston, what he's doing. and the fact that the coverage is helping them get to sacks, things of that nature. Again, everything working together because you've got playmakers at all three levels, as you've talked about. And you know what? We know it's a special year already, but I think it's going to get even better because I think you start to see the snowball get bigger and bigger as it rolls downhill. And as he said, he has confidence in the fact that Coach Sutton's going to dial something up and break him free in some way, shape, or form.
Only two guys have been in this football team longer than Tamba Hali. That is Dustin Colquitt and Derek Johnson. But Tamba's still playing at a very high level with his 9.5 sacks. This is a combination of Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi being in the same body. Tamba knows it's special.
My beliefs is just to work hard. You know, the old way of doing things, work hard, work smart, you know, and everything else should take care of itself. And we did that. But we can't, in the past, which I choose not to talk about, but when it didn't work, you know, we didn't blame it on how hard we worked. You know, it wasn't because we wasn't working hard. But the success these guys have brought here, you know, the coaches, it's really changed the dynamic of this team, the way we have confidence going out there to play.
Just want to show that in the Browns Hotel when they walk in, just have it on a big screen. Say, okay, here's what's coming. Now, to me, this whole year, since January the 3rd or 4th or whatever, when Andy Reid rolled into town, has been a discussion in the psychology of coaching and transforming, along with John Dorsey, transforming an entire organization. Let's just talk about that a little bit and what you've seen from Andy Reid and his psychological approach beyond the X's and O's.
To me, it goes all the way back to when he was hired here, and the fact I talked about how he could do his own Dove commercial. He's comfortable in his own skin, and that's fabulous. He's not impressed with himself. He's impressed with the team as a whole, and that's what matters. You hear them break it down, family. He truly believes that. It's about family. It's about everybody working together. And it's not just the team, Mitch. It's permeated the whole organization, top to bottom, left to right. That cannot be understated because you've just got everybody pulling on the rope in one direction. And when you get that going, generally good things happen.
Respect, freedom, and discipline within boundaries, but freedom there and the respect from every person in this organization, whether it's Alex Smith or the guy working the night shift, keeping this place clean. Well, two guys that can give perspective on this. I mentioned Tom as one of the elder statesmen. But Eric Berry now has been around since 2010, and he had his face rubbed into it in that 2-14 season last year. These guys know about Andy Reid's influence. They give you the answer.
You know, we got a lot of guys in this locker room that's played a lot of football, so and been in a lot of situations. So, you know, Coach Reid, he's been a lot around more football than us. And, you know, he'll give us a little hint or a little reminder or something like that, but you know, he'll tell us all the time, it's on the players. You know, it's on us to remind each other and keep everything in perspective. He can't go out there and play not one snap for us.
Coach is an honest coach. There's no shouting matches out here. There's a lot of coaching. We spend a lot of time on the field. Our chemistry in the locker room, it seems like we like each other. They've brought us together. This is the first time, I've been around where all the linebackers are together.
You have perspective as well. I mean, you played for Belcour. I mean, you played for some really good guys. Andy Reid, he just has it.
He does have it. He's got his finger on everything, but not in a micromanaging way. It's the fact that he hired good coaches. He trusts them to do your job. You talked about earlier, do your job. He trusts them to do their job, and then he treats everybody as such. When I talk to the players, to a man, they're like, he treats us like a man. He trusts us to do what we're asked to do, and we do it. And people talk about being a player's coach. It doesn't mean that you give leeway. It might just be the opposite, because players want boundaries. They want to know what's expected of them. And when you're truthful with them and you let them know what you're thinking, and it may not be the nicest thing sometimes, you want to know that. That's what's happening right now. And the fact is, he's got the complete and total respect of this team.
Can the Chiefs go 8-0 against a Cleveland Browns team that has some explosive pieces? Plus, we will go to the czar of the touchscreen. When we come back, as Chiefs Lies continue, it's brought to you by your Midwest Ford dealers.
This is a tunnel, but not everyone can enter. The men who gather here have a kingdom to honor, a home to defend. And come Sunday, there's no place they'd rather be. This is the Players Tunnel at Arrowhead. just a few short steps from glory.
Welcome to the 7-0 edition of Chiefs Live, brought to you by your Midwest Ford dealers. Now, let me say this about the snapper. I'm going to brag on him a little bit. He was the best long snapper to ever play in the game. I think he redefined the position, much like a Lawrence Taylor or Derek Thomas redefined the speed rusher. Your hands are amazing. You can juggle with the best of them, but now your fingers are going to go to work, because let's get you to look at what's key to get ready for Cleveland, to go back and look at what the Chiefs did. So go to work with those fingers and show us on tape some of the key plays.
Well, just remember, technology found me. I didn't find technology. As you look at this, you know, it's supposed to be the read option here, but as we start with it, you're going to see that we'll let it run a second. Jamal up behind him. He's supposed to go to the right. He goes to the right side. He's supposed to go to the left side. But what's amazing is as he goes through here, he picks up somebody right away. And, of course, Sherman is in front of him, and he picks it up as well. And then the crazy thing is this guy right here, number 11, runs straight in. I mean, it's amazing. When you look at that and the hole that was created, that's crazy. And then it's like they're not even laughing about it. Again, right here. You stop it. Now, lots of QBs would might struggle a little bit. It's like, uh-oh, broken play. What do I do? He takes it straight in and goes after it, and there's a hole. You and I might have been able to run through that hole. I mean, that was a fabulous thing.
Well, 25 wants to go hit somebody. Plus, Merciless is frozen. He's so tricked by it that he just stands there. But 25 wants to go jack somebody. We talked about that before. But the play was designed to be a zone read with Jamal Charles, but wow, that's one for the ages.
It's crazy. And again, I'm playing with the technology over here as I get it going. But, you know, that was your offensive play. When you look at special teams, Coach Dave Tobe coming over Chicago and what he's done, and that kickoff return of Quentin Demps and what he did was just a wonderful thing. And as you're going to see, I'm going to stop it right here, but you're going to see Ron Parker, and we get him right here. He's going to come up, he's going to hit somebody, then he's going to come all the way around, and he's going to lead it up on the left side. And then you're also going to see in there, as we get it, you're going to see Cyrus Gray come up right up through here and lead it. And he's not going to get one guy, Mitch, but he's going to get two. And let's take a look at this one, because to me, this was beautiful. As a special teams coach, you love this stuff. He's coming all the way around there. So, boom, he's right in there. Leading through that, that's going to allow him to come right up through the middle. And again, Cyrus Gray leads it also. This is another one of the 19 times this year that they've started across the 50-yard line. That's huge when you can set up a short field like that. Some really good things. Here we'll take the end zone angle.
You also see James Michael Johnson here at the play side block. And this is, again, part of your magnificent seven. Cooper, how far did he run on this play?
You know what, it was a 57-yard return. He probably got an extra 30 in there, I'm guessing. I like how I guess, just patient he is with things. And the fact that he came straight upfield, and you get him to continue to run downfield, and then he breaks it out to his left. You get those guys to commit a little bit in terms of the coverage team. All of a sudden, they can't change directions, because when it comes down to it, as a return team, you know where the ball's going. They don't.
Okay, Cleveland has a good offensive line. Joe Thomas has been to six straight Pro Bowls. This is his seventh year, so you do the math. Then they've got Alex Mack, really one of the top centers in the league. Greco, Jeff Schwartz's brothers on this team, Mitchell Schwartz, he's the right tackle. All of those guys will have to deal with what you're going to show us next. Again, there are some fights that are unfair. this to me is almost unfair.
It really was fair. And as we look at this, you're going to see, we'll let it run just a second, but right now you've got Tom Bahali and Justin Houston lined up on the left side. That's way too many sacks to be lined up against one tackle on the right side there. And what should have happened is you should have had the left guard if we can get it right here, the left guard should have been directing the whole line to slide to their right to pick these guys up. But what happens for Houston, and good for Kansas City as we run it again, is they don't. And you get that there where 91 and 50 meet and have a party with the football. Where you really get a better idea of it is right here, and we're going to stop it. So as you see here right now, Derek Johnson is up there sugaring. He's going to come in, then he's going to pull back out of here. Now, the other thing that people don't realize is Dontari Poe. He keeps the center with him. Now, if he keeps the center with him, what happens is the right guard hesitates because he's got the sugar by Derek Johnson, and now all of a sudden you've got an unfair fight because this tackle right here, he has 91 to 50. And again, that's not fair, and you see him come free as we watch it roll.
Kendall, that's Pro Bowl, Pro Bowl, Pro Bowl, Pro Bowl, all locked up on that side.
And Justin Houston barely got touched on that. I mean, that right there, okay. I'm speechless because you don't see those things. I have never seen those two lined up on the same side of the ball all the time. And what they do is just wonderful. And you see it again in another sack on the other side, the exact same play. Again, just dialing it up to that side. That changes games, and that's what it did.
Okay, the Cleveland Browns come calling. Kansas City's trying to go to 8-0 against this Browns team that does have some explosive players. Let's set the table for this week's game, and let's check in with KCChiefs.com reporter Rachel Sanchi, who gives you our focus point.
For only the second time in franchise history, the Chiefs are 7-0 and sit alone atop the AFC West. This week, the 3-4 Cleveland Browns come to town. And after losing two in a row, they're hungry for a win before their playoff chances disappear for good. Here are the 3 points to focus on this week. First, continuing to be a threat on defense. The Chiefs' aggressive pass rush has fueled them to a league-leading 35 sacks through 7 games, led by Justin Houston and Tom Bahali, with 10 and 9 sacks respectively. Meanwhile, the Browns have the second most sacks allowed in the league with 27. Cleveland's shaky offensive line versus the Chiefs' pass rush will be an interesting matchup to watch on Sunday. Second, Cleveland's quarterback situation. Quarterback injuries have plagued the Browns so far this season, sending Brandon Weeden to the bench in Week 2 and ending Brian Hoyer's season in Week 5. Hoyer had propelled the Browns to 2 impressive victories in Weeks 3 and 4 before tearing his ACL against the Bills. Since returning to the starting role, Brandon Weeden has struggled, and the Browns have now fallen to 0-4 on the season with Weeden as starter. The Browns will come to Kansas City this week with yet another starting quarterback, 9-year journeyman Jason Campbell. Head coach Rob Jasinski announced earlier this week that Campbell will be the starter moving forward. And finally, stopping the Browns' return game. Cleveland is ranked 4th in the league in both kickoff return and punt return yards this season. Star returner Travis Benjamin has raked up 246 yards on punt returns through 7 weeks and even had an 86-yard kickoff return last Sunday. The Chiefs won't be underestimating the Browns returner, as it was his 93-yard punt return for a touchdown that put the Browns on top for good when the two teams met in 2012. With an intriguing matchup for the Chiefs on defense, a shaky Cleveland quarterback situation, and a battle between two of the league's best special teams units, it looks like there are a lot of storylines to watch for in this week's game.
Yes, there are. The biggest one, can the Chiefs go 8-0 against this Browns team? And the Browns team have caused them problems. They set a rushing record against the Chiefs in 09. Cribbs had 2 kickoff returns in that game. And last year was an embarrassing loss led by Travis Benjamin. We'll get to that in a second. Jason Campbell gets announced as the starter yesterday by the Cleveland Browns. I'm just going to lead into you with this. In case you want to get your fur up and you're a Chiefs fan, Jason Campbell swept the Chiefs as the Raiders quarterback the year the Chiefs won the AFC West in 2010. What do you think?
Well, you know what? Unfortunately, he's had some success against the Chiefs. What I think is interesting is the fact that he, to a degree, gives the Cleveland team a little bit more hope because things have not been going well with Weeden at QB. And in watching the last 2 games, Weeden was simply awful. He was off the mark entirely. He's had a few good games, but in general, not doing well. It's funny. This will be the fifth straight game that Cleveland has played Kansas City, and they've had a different QB each and every time. So this was going to be the first time that they'd had the same QB two times in a row. Of course, they changed that a couple days ago. So it will be interesting. That's the thing is, you don't have any film on them. You've got to go back. But tough places to come back in and get your first start again.
But you told me, how many different quarterbacks? This will be the fifth time?
Yeah.
The Chiefs in those previous four have won one game.
Right.
One game. That's when Brandon Flowers ran a pick six back in 2010 in Cleveland. So the Browns have caused the Chiefs problems. Now, let me to ask you about another guy, and a guy that can absolutely flip a game. We have seen great returners here. Go back to Elmo Wright. Dante Hall was awesome here. We've seen Dexter McCluster change a game. Travis Benjamin. What do you see in this guy?
Travis Benjamin is a guy who can change the game. He almost single-handedly won the Buffalo game with his returns. And you see right here in the fact that he's quick, and then he plants his foot, and he goes straight upfield. Now, when you do things like this, as a returner in the NFL, you've got to be fearless, and you've got to be not afraid to do what he's doing, which is to, again, get straight upfield. You can try to outrun people to the edges, but he'll do both. When you look at it, he's got an 86-yard kickoff return this year. He's got a 79-yard punt return for a TD. He's averaging 12.3 yards on punt returns. You know, in talking with Dave Tobe, he said, you know, this is a guy that you have to be aware of. They directional punt, so they're going to continue to do that, and they just have to be aware of him and what's going on. Now, you don't give him too much respect. You don't be scared of him. You just play with respect, not out of fear. But he is a game changer. Then, of course, Little Rainey and Whitaker scares me as well. Whitaker is a little shifty guy that I think has done some good things as well, not only in special teams, but I think on offense he's a weapon.
And his first name's Fozzie. You got to respect that. Now I'm going to ask you about another guy, and that's Jordan Cameron. They're tied in. Here's another basketball guy. He's the least known of the basketball guys that have become good tight ends in the NFL. Think of all of them. Jimmy Graham, you go right down the line. This guy, Tony Gonzalez, Gates. Norv Turner is the offensive coordinator of the Browns. He has his new Antonio Gates. Jordan Cameron leads all tight ends in the NFL with 45 catches.
Right, 45 catches, 515 yards. I believe he has six touchdowns. So this is a weapon, and certainly with a new QB coming into town with Campbell, you're going to want to look for that because, quite honestly, you don't know if you're going to have a lot of time to throw the ball against the Kansas City Chiefs. So you're going to want to get the ball out of your hands quick. They feel very fortunate. This is a star right now, like you said, very unheralded, but you're going to hear a lot more from him. He's doing good things.
Mm-hmm. And they've got a capable outside receiving core. Josh Gordon, a kid from Baylor, when he gets going and focused, he's tough. Devon Bess was great with Miami, good third down guy. Greg Little can play. You got big receivers on the outside. You're going to have to deal with it.
Well, it is. And when you look at Cameron also and the fact that he's leading the team in catches, receptions, and touchdowns, it brings to mind some other tight ends for Cleveland that have done it. One, Ozzie Newsome, who did it five times for them, and then Ben Watson, who I think did it once in 2010. So there's a bit of a lineage there, and he's carrying it on.
The other side would be the Chiefs' protection against a good defensive front seven. We'll close with this, but Cleveland now, the prevailing thought about the Browns is this is a playoff team caliber defense. The 20 sacks from 13 different guys, it's LeBeau kind of pressure. We'll kind of end it the way we began it. What about protecting Alex Smith and getting some rhythm against this defense, which is pretty good?
Well, the fact is, when you get sacks from 13 different guys, you've got it coming all over the place. And you mentioned Dick LeBeau. Dick LeBeau was my coach with the Pittsburgh Steelers in that 3-4 defense. Did a fabulous job. He's actually still there. He's ageless. He's going to coach until the end of time, evidently. But the fact is, he changes coverages. Right at the snap, things of that nature where you try to confuse the QB. I'm not sure if he can confuse Alex Smith, but it's that type of things where you don't know where the extra guy's coming from, which can create problems.
Well, we haven't even mentioned the crowd yet. That, again, becomes the biggest asset, but a chance to go 8-0 against the Cleveland Browns. He is the snapper, Kendall Gammon. I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. Thank you for joining us on this edition of your Midwest Ford Dealers Chiefs Live.